Kevin Walsh here, the Kevin Walsh Show Sports Grid Podcast with you heading into another football full weekend. And this is going to probably be a little bit quicker on this Friday, so we will get to some NFL things that, you know, I'm keeping an eye on, of course. Sunday mornings on Sports Grid, you can catch Pro Football Today with myself and Joe Lisi, so we'll be in the mix there. But I am going to start with the college card. Usually we start with the Thursday night football reaction, NFL, but I want to make this as digestible as possible for people with, you know, this is going to be out a little bit later than I want on a Friday, so I want to get right to the college. We'll get right into the NFL, and we'll get you out of here a little bit quicker on this Friday edition. There are four or five big games this week in college football, I think, depending who you are. Maybe you try and say three. Anytime you get ranked, it's a big deal. That's Utah, Texas, 16 versus 17. That's Oklahoma, Auburn, 11 versus 23. And then that is Indiana, Illinois, number 19 versus number 9. So we have action in every single one of those games, as well as Miami, Florida, which I still think is a really, really big game. Miami is obviously trending now, ranked inside the top five at four, and Florida, one of the early teams of the year in just how much they've given us to sink our teeth into. I am not involved in Nebraska-Michigan. I also don't think Nebraska-Michigan is as big as these other games. I am sure plenty of you will be betting this game because it's still going to be a prime spot. I know that, you know, it's the Bussin' with the Boys Bowl, which means you get more and more profit boosts. FanDuel's flipping it out there for people to get involved with. I don't know. These are not two teams that I have a great read on. You know, I think you can basically pick a 50% profit boost. You know, you're basically either backing Compton or backing Luan. I'd probably rather back Nebraska in this spot at home. I don't love this Michigan team, really. Then again, I know I played them against OU, so maybe I'm being a little overreactionary in that way. Not a game I felt strongly about, not a game I'm going to get in the mix with. But I am going to talk about these big four, and then we'll get to the other spots that make the full college football card. Let's start, actually, then, in the Big Ten with the matchup between Indiana and Illinois, because it feels, I think you can make a really strong argument, it's actually the biggest game. Because the Big Ten, right? We know at the top, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon. It'd be stunning if any of them missed the college football playoff, but there could be room for a fourth Big Ten team. There are still, just at least through name recognition, a number of SEC teams at OU and Auburn, right? Like, those teams still have to go through Alabama, is how I will put it, despite their ranking. We're going to get to that game too, nevertheless. My point is, Indiana and Illinois feels like an eliminator. It is hard to imagine that the loser of this game will be able to make the college football playoff. Not because that one loss is so damaging. It's Illinois has to go to Oregon and Penn State. If Indiana loses at home to Illinois, it is impossible to imagine they win at Oregon and at Penn State. What's the big win? That's all she wrote for Indiana. Now, they're big favorites in the football game. Well, what about Illinois? Illinois could probably handle it a little bit better, but they're going to be an underdog against USC at home, likely regardless if they win this game or not, but definitely if they lose, which, again, they are booked as dogs, and then they still have an Ohio State game on the schedule. So, this game, it's about giving, it's a big win if you get it, right? You're beating a top 20 team no matter what, top 10 in Indiana's case at the time, and you then get some allowance with some tougher games still to come on your schedule. With all of that said, I like the under in this game. I got a 53.5 over on Fanatics, which was out at, you know, at 52.5, which I was going to play, but I was happy to grab an extra point. I think this is playoff atmosphere. I think that these are still two quarterbacks I don't fully trust in my heart of hearts because these are huge spots for Altmyer and Mendoza. I think it's a little more ground game focused for both football teams here in this spot. And one of the ways I actually got to this under was I slightly lean Indiana, But their team totals 30.5. That feels way out of whack. Illinois is still strong enough on the defensive side of the football. Who have the Hoosiers played, right? Like, I'm not moved by 73 against Indiana State, 56 against Kennesaw. That doesn't do anything for me. I know Illinois hung it on Duke offensively, but Duke's a bit of a mess. We saw Jake Retzlaff and Tulane light that team up last week. So I'm under 53.5 in Indiana, Illinois. I think Indiana wins the football game. They're favored. They're supposed to. But I'm playing under 53.5. Let's then get to the Oklahoma-Auburn game, which is one that, at first glance, I was like, what am I going to do here? And then I realized it's kind of an easy decision. It doesn't mean it's an easy game. It doesn't mean that, like, this is totally out of whack. But as somebody who bet Michigan at, 4.5 against Oklahoma, if I can avoid being over, you know, having an overreaction, bad taste in my mouth, and you know, I'm scared to fade OU, Auburn at 7 is clearly the side. And you can still get those 7s, hopefully, by the time you're listening to this there. If you have to, you know, tick it up a little bit, you want to be able to get that touchdown. I'm surprised as this numbers continue to run here. You know, this was a thing that started at 3.5. I, through evaluating these teams preseason, liked Auburn a little bit more. And that's why I regret so heavily betting Baylor week one against Auburn. I liked Baylor. Not that I didn't like Baylor a little bit. I should have got involved in the props market in that game, is my point. I shouldn't have been willing to bet against Auburn in week number one. That tripped me up a little bit. I thought that was a mistake that I made. And, you know, again, obviously it turned out to be. But Auburn going out there and having that great game and their rush offense looking so good, I'm not that surprised by. You know, this is the Jackson-Arnold Bowl, right? Obviously coming from OU to Auburn. Jackson-Arnold, who's been elite on the ground to start this season, last year finished the season elite on the ground. 25 carries for 131 yards against Alabama in that 24-3 win. Went 17 for 75 against LSU. A loss, but still, that was impressive. Had 45 in the two games prior to that. So Jackson-Arnold, the runner, is for real. This is a five-star recruit who I think is finding himself a really good rhythm at Auburn. We know they've put plenty of talented skill position players around him in the transfer in Singleton. Cam Coleman is a star-level player who could really shine in this matchup. And I'm just still not a John Mateer guy. I'm not. I'm not moved off of that because of the Michigan game. The kid's incredible on the ground. No doubt about it. He's also thrown an interception in every single game he's played. And that's Michigan, Illinois State, and Temple. And I think when you're talking about a touchdown spread between close teams, one team looks to be a guarantee to turn it over, the other's elite on the ground, I think a touchdown's too much here. I think Auburn's better than Michigan. I'm getting an extra field goal, basically, of where that number was when the Wolverines went to Norman. Give me the 7 with Auburn. Ranked action, Utah, Texas Tech. Now, for those that don't know, I'm in on Utah coming into the year. I predicted them to win the Big 12, make the college football playoff. I bet Devin Dampier to win the Heisman Trophy. And so far, we've seen some really... Let's pull up one books here. The book I played it at. I believe I played it on DK. Let's see where DK has the Devin Dampier number as of today, the Utah quarterback. Because he's moved quite a bit. Let's see. Where is... he's at 20-1. I think it was 60-1 when he went off the board. He could be lower, could be higher at some places. That's great movement, but he's got to get a win here. He's got to step up. Now, this number was 2.5. It's 3.5 everywhere at time of recording. If it flips back down to 3, certainly 2.5. I don't mind the Utes, but this is a spot where I'm going to kind of chase the ceiling. Look, I want to give you guys... I'd like, especially in the props market, because it's been a really good year for the college football props market... I want to give you straight wagers. Let's just win money, right? And let's just let it stack. But Dampier's a little bit trickier because his running has been really good. It's not been, oh my gosh, to start the season. What do I mean? Game one against UCLA, 16 for 87 and a touchdown. They play Cal Poly, doesn't bother. 4 for 25 on the ground. And then against Wyoming, in a really interesting game, he goes 13 for 86. Now, he's gone over 85 yards twice. But also, They've won these games 43-10, 63-9, 31-6. We've not seen ourselves a super close one, which then takes me back to how Devin Dampier ends last season. 207 yards on the ground in a four-point loss. 127 yards in a five-point win. 193 yards in a three-point win. 101 yards in an eight-point loss. The closer the game, this is a 3.5-point number. This is the biggest challenge. Big game runners, we believe that in the NFL. We believe it in college. Sacks, so be it. I hope that there's not too many. It's a plus 250 number on Devin Dampier to get to 100. I'm chasing the century mark. I'm chasing the top dollar here because I thought this was a tricky game to cap. I think Texas Tech's a tricky team to get a real read on. So many transfers. They've played nobody so far to start this season. I'm going to step aside from the spread, from the total, and back my Heisman Trophy pick in Devin Dampier at the window on his rushing for 100-plus at plus 250. Lastly, Miami, Florida. Oh, man. I hope that those of you who listened to this show last week were on DJ Lagway over 208.5 passing yards. Because if you were, you will be a lot more receptive to what I am about to say, which is I am betting Florida plus 8.5. If you were somebody who bet Florida in week two against South Florida, South Florida beating Boise, overvalued, I'll lay the big number, and you go on and you watch that game and Florida only scores 16, Lagway throws a pick, you might have felt a little burned. But then maybe you saw that number get over a touchdown against LSU in a matchup with a lot of expectations, and Lagway throws 5 interceptions, including a pick 6. Undeniably, Lagway's turnovers cost the cover. Really cost the game. That absolutely could have been a game that Florida won. Their defense has been really good to start this season. Well, as somebody who won money in that game, because I saw, you know, because Lagway soared through his passing prop, it's a little bit easier for me to stomach getting involved in the game. Books have adjusted the passing prop, by the way. Right? That number's into the 220s, as it should be. I'm going to take these 8.5 points. This is just, it's like a spread math palooza, right? First of all, they've both played South Florida. Now, many people will say, one team won by 37, the other lost by 2. How is this not 14? Okay? You know my pushback to that is, both teams laid the same exact spread. Both teams were 17-point favorites in the matchup against South Florida. So, we saw those as even teams. Then you talk about Miami and LSU. And even as and within my preseason preparation, I believed LSU was better. I understand that LSU has not lived up to the offensive expectations. And we're actually going to talk about that in the card in a little bit. I understand they've not lived up to offensive expectations. But I still think that if you put LSU-Miami on a neutral field, LSU is favored. Miami is now laying a point more than LSU did. I think we are getting bottom of the market here on the Gators in a spot nobody's going to want to back them. I tried to fade Carson Beck and Cristobal in a game where it was ranked. Yeah, but maybe they would trip up and slip up. Hindsight 2020, one, I've heard people mention like, oh, South Florida's third straight ranked game, which is a lot to ask of a G5 team, and that was a great point. It really was, and I overthought that. But also, Miami is better than South Florida. I didn't doubt that, but it's ranked, so they're going to be super up for the game. Now you get a spot where Miami is looking across at a Gator team, who I think is actually closer to even with them, but they may be looking past a little bit or feeling pressure from a little. I just think I'll challenge any mindset Miami walks in here with, and I'll trust Lagway and the talent to bounce back. I think Jaden Ball will have a good game even on the ground. And I think that we're getting a good number here. And look, my notes begin with, I don't give an F. That's what the top of the notes say. Because I knew what the number was going to be and I knew what the result was going to be. I knew that nobody was going to want to back Lagway in this game. I'm doing it. I'm taking the 8.5 points. I think Florida's live. In the football game. Let's go through the rest of the college card here. What stood out? What was worth getting in the mix with? You know, last week I lost the Notre Dame -6.5 bet. For a lot of you, I'm sure know I'm a Notre Dame fan. It's big in the Walsh household. And the missed extra point completely turned off my brain, basically, where all I could think about was losing my bet. And it wasn't until A&M was, you know, at the 25-yard line of Notre Dame's where I realized, oh, Notre Dame might lose this football game too. And they did. They lost the football game, which was super unfortunate. Now, I will just quickly say, for those of you who are like, why is Notre Dame ranked? Don't be stupid, okay? They play two teams that are both ranked in the top 10, lost by a combined 4. Don't be stupid, all right? The notion, you know, people will try and tell themselves that, oh, Vanderbilt's better, or, you know, oh, Michigan's better. I would take Notre Dame over both of those teams in 2 seconds, okay? Not great. Now, look, if you're Notre Dame, you got to win games, but Notre Dame will win games. And Notre Dame is going to beat up on Purdue. I wanted to figure out what's the best way to back Notre Dame in this matchup here. And I was tempted a little bit by the spread. As somebody who was on Purdue last week, again, if you listen to the podcast, you know that. That was a luck box cover. Okay? They tried a trick play that should have been a pick six that ended up a scoop and score touchdown for Purdue. You won't see a luckier touchdown, quite frankly. And it decided the cover, which was fantastic. You think about what that number was last week, where USC, again, we got a 21.5 on the road. I still think Notre Dame is power ranked above USC, right? So I was tempted by the spread, but this is a spot to me where I think you're going to see Notre Dame run the football because Notre Dame's got their own guys. You know, Jeremiah Love has probably earned this right of being like, give us the football, man. Enough's enough. There's no reason that in the first game against Miami, Jeremiah Love has 10 carries. Now, I know he had 23 against A&M. You know, he probably thinks to himself, that's more like it. I've been so impressed by Jadarian Price. The simple approach here, this is a little shout-out DRS style, on FanDuel, Love for 80-plus rushing and Jadarian Price for 40-plus rushing, minus 101. That's as good as it gets. That's played. That's on the card. I love that bet. You want to get a little juicy, though? A rushing touchdown in each quarter of this game is plus 600. I really like that. I do. I think the legitimate aim is Notre Dame gets that themselves. And I look at that as fourth quarter or bust, really. Because Notre Dame's going to have to get one on the board in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then who's playing in the fourth? Because I think this could get a blowout style. 6-1. We're going to put some big numbers on the board here, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So we're going to play a 6-1 rushing touchdown in each quarter. My favorite bet is Love for 80 and Price for 40. A little alted down parlay. Shout out DRS. That's a DRS special. Let's get some points here. We're going to take 28.5 with Georgia State against Vanderbilt. What a spot. Good for Vandy last week. They got the job done as a field goal dog against South Carolina. You guys know I love South Carolina in that game. I don't know what happens if Sellers doesn't get injured, but that in of itself lets you know how bad South Carolina was playing. The most important player was injured in the first half of the game for the Gamecocks, and I'm not sure that it would have made the difference. So give Vanderbilt credit, but this is who Vanderbilt is. They pull off upsets against big teams. They cover against big teams. They're a disastrous favorite. This number's run up, by the way. This was 26.5 up to 28.5. I think some people are betting that, oh, Vandy's different. Or, ooh, they're going to be on high alert. They lost to Georgia State last year, which, again, fits right into the narrative. By the way, last year against Georgia State, 8.5-point road favorite. We're getting 28.5 on Georgia State this year. But I think the game that really exemplifies why Georgia State's a clear smash spot here. Vanderbilt, last year, 5-2, about to be ranked, went and hosted Ball State as a 27.5-point favorite. Tied game going into the fourth quarter. Vanderbilt won by 10. We're going to take 28.5 with Georgia State. We're going to lay a huge number with LSU. I actually cannot believe one of the funnier breakdowns, if you will. I almost stumbled into this one where I was trying to figure out. So I'll tell you the full story. I was trying to figure out a little bit of juice for game time decisions. And we were doing some college picks on a Wednesday, and I didn't have the card settled. I said, you know what, just put LSU team total up there. It's a narrative bet, but that's what I'm betting it on. Like, I don't think the numbers are going to speak to me where it's like, oh, they've messed something up. But I think that this is just a good narrative spot. And the simple part of that is LSU beat Florida, but their offense is really underwhelmed. They're averaging 20 points a game through three games. That's not what's supposed to happen with, you know, favored to go first overall, Garrett Nussmeier as your quarterback, right? So Brian Kelly, you know, right in the press conference, they asked him about the offense. He was upset about it. I actually don't mind that from BK, by the way. Like, that's a big win. And people are like, hey, has to feel like a loss. Offense wasn't good. Like, I think that was a little misguided. Nevertheless, they're not going to let that happen again. But strip all that away. SC Louisiana. Remember I said I was going to not, you know, I wanted to be careful betting, you know, these FCS games because it really beat me up early season. But we're now in week four. We now have more information. And what information do we have? A common opponent. SC Louisiana, LSU, they both played Louisiana Tech. I can't believe we're doing spread math involving an FCS team, but you better believe we are. Because SC Louisiana played La Tech as a 14.5 point dog and lost 24-0. SC Louisiana's a little sloppy in the game, three turnovers. The yardage was a little bit similar, but they lost 24-0 as a 14.5 point favorite. Well, La Tech, okay? La Tech, when they went to LSU, in a game that LSU, by the way, dominated yardage, but an interception, a missed field goal, settled for three other field goals that went in. LSU, who won that game 23-7 against La Tech, was a 36.5 point favorite. It's just A plus B equals C. That would suggest LSU should be around a 50 point favorite. I thought this was going to be 48.5. Make them pay to win 49-0, 56-7. It's 38.5. I'm laying the number. I like the team total if you can find it. I don't know if they'll post it. I am laying the 38.5 with an LSU. This is a sledgehammer spot. I'm telling you, this is a throw the wiffle ball up, don't hold a baseball bat, hold a sledgehammer, and blow to smithereens. And I'm not talking, just to be clear, I'm not talking about how much you bet on this. I'm talking about LSU winning this game 63-0. Okay? Bet responsibly. Bet responsibly. This is a spot, though, that I think LSU dominates. Do I think... I'll tell you, I feel a little uncertain as to what is definitively 100% my best bet. As I give the breakdown, though, I think it is LSU. I think it is LSU. And, again, bet responsibly. Be smart. Okay? But I do think they destroy SE Louisiana. I will just say this. Two other things I'm watching, okay, as far as the card goes. There were 10.5s. They're down to 10 to 9.5s for South Carolina against Missouri. I know they burned us last week. I'm not scared to go back to them. I am horrified, though, of betting on a team who doesn't have their best player. The idea is Lenora Sellers will play. I won't bet on it until I get word. And if that drops down, let's just say it goes down to 7. Well, then I've missed the number. I don't care. I want to see where the number is when we get official word on Sellers. I'll make a decision. Also, Arch Manning, 2.5 passing touchdowns. It's in like the 260s, his passing yards. I haven't decided what I want to do, but Sam Houston's allowed the fourth most passing yards per game amongst, like not high-level teams because they're not a high-level team, but like for those who have been going up against it a little bit there, Sam Houston gave up a gazillion yards to Western Kentucky, okay? That's a team that really struggles against the pass. Arch, if it's going to be right, it's going to get right there. The last piece of this puzzle, though, is a late night over in Colorado, Wyoming. We're going to go over the 44.5. I was really surprised as I broke this game down. I wanted to bet Colorado. Okay, seemingly this line started at like 17, drops down to 13.5. They put the better quarterback in. Ryan Stobbs got a little bit of electricity to him. I think Caden Salter's the better player right now. And that's why I was on Houston last week, midweek, right? Or not midweek, Friday. But that's why I was in that spot against Colorado. So now that Salter's in, I think there's a little bit of juice. And they're playing a terrible Wyoming team. Now, Wyoming is responsible for maybe the worst bet I've made this college. Oh, no. That would be Oklahoma State against Oregon. But a very bad bet I made in a Wyoming-Akron over when it was like a Thursday week one college game that finished like 10-0 or something like that. But. Wyoming last week, we saw it against Utah, okay? In the first half, they missed three field goals and a fumble and only scored 3 points. They went 4-for-4 with touchdown drives in the second half. They scored 31. The Wyoming is bad, okay? But Deion is, and let me clean this up because I combined something. Sam Houston has allowed the fourth most passing yards per game in college football, okay? What did I confuse that with for a second? Colorado has allowed the fourth most yards per game amongst power schools. Typically, teams giving up this type of yardage are getting 35 a game scored on them. Colorado right now is at like 23. Colorado is escaping. I know Wyoming is bad. They're not so bad that this game can't be 35-21. I expect points here between Colorado, Wyoming. I'm going over the 44.5. So to compress it all, put it all together here, how we're going to play this college football card. Let's go Auburn +7 against Oklahoma. Florida +8.5 against Miami. Under the 53.5 in Illinois, Indiana. A Devin Dampier alt shot for 100-plus rushing at +250. Notre Dame, we're going to go for a rushing touchdown at each quarter in their game against Purdue. That's at 6-1. And then a Jadarian Price, Jeremiah Love, alt rushing yards prop. Love for 80, Price for 40. It's at -101. And then we're going to go Georgia State +28.5. LSU -38.5 and over 44.5, Wyoming and Colorado. And that is where we are, people, for that college football card. Let's just do a quick podcast break and then rapid fire a couple of NFL thoughts, send you off into the weekend. All right, let's talk a little NFL here. Quickly with the Thursday night game, shout out the Dolphins +12.5. You guys know I was all over Miami in that spot. I thought that number was too big. They covered for all 60 minutes of that game. My biggest takeaway in that football game, I thought Tyreek Hill was the best player on the field in the first half. And I thought Tua struggled, obviously. The interception was brutal. The most important thing now for the Dolphins, the more they lose, okay, is the increasing likelihood that Tyreek Hill gets dealt. That's an odds changer. That is a real odds changer. And I don't think Kansas City is the only place he could go. I think they would like to have him back. I think he would be happy to be back in Kansas City, and I think that would certainly shift the Chiefs' odds without a doubt. You know, the Chiefs' odds that are more than almost a 5-1 Buffalo, 5-1 Baltimore, 14-1 Kansas City, okay? But I've said this before, if you're the Chargers, if you're the Bills, if you're the Ravens, if you are the Texans, I don't care. You cannot just let Tyreek go to KC. You have to stay on top of that situation and get yourself in the mix, because that was my biggest takeaway. Tyreek Hill is a game changer. And I don't know if you guys, you know, felt that way, that he was fantastic in that game, but he jumped right off of the page. I felt, in a game where he only had 5 catches, 49 yards, but a score, 10 targets, he was missed. And I think Tyreek Hill, you know, here's the only thing for Miami, is can they pull themselves up by the bootstraps next couple of games? Home against the Jets will be favorites. At Carolina, maybe. We'll see. Panthers are brutal. Home against the Chargers. Won't be favorites. Won't be crazy dogs. At Cleveland. At that point, we'll see, right? I probably shouldn't push this any further than that. So let's just take those next 5 games. Do they win 3 of them? Is that enough at 3-5 to be like, okay, we're finding some footing? Then truly, if they lose to the Jets, it could be curtains. It could be curtains. And we get closer and closer to Tyreek being dealt, which is just this odds changer that now looms over the NFL market and something that I want to track, especially because, you know, my Super Bowl bets are in, but I can be flexible in that market if something pops. And Cincinnati losing Burrow potentially for the season, I need to be flexible in the market. He just had the surgery, but, you know, the outlook isn't great from the doctors. And I told you guys this, I'll talk to the Pro Football Doc on Sunday and, you know, try and get a little bit of clarity on what's a legitimate timeline here for Burrow. And it's going to, you know, he didn't do the surgery, right? Like, he's not going to be able to tell us, I promise you it will be this date, but get a night, like, hey, if they're in the playoffs, is he playing in your estimation or what? Because that's going to make a big difference. I can't wait for that game this weekend between, you know, the Vikings and the Bengals. I'm excited to see what Wentz has. I think Wentz could have himself a really big game, quite frankly, because we've seen Darnold have big games, and I think Wentz is better than J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy's been brutal. Like, that Wentz 203.5, and I'm just pulling this up now. No way I'm not in the mix there. No way. That is a whoo! Oh my goodness. This game could be spectacular. This game could be a treat. I'm excited for this one between the Vikings and the Bengals. But listen, it's a game that I'll still be rooting Cincinnati to pull off the upset, because I'm not going to give up hope that Burrow can come back. And the more they stack wins, the more Burrow's in the field. So it's a really, really important game for Cincinnati. It's a really important game. Let's talk about three other important games, okay? And just kind of what's on the line. Firstly, Philadelphia and LA. 3.5-point line in Philly, total 44.5. This is a very important game for the LA Rams. People will try and make this about the Eagles. The Eagles are certified. We know that. They're the team to beat. Can the Rams do it? The answer to that's been no. Rams win their first two games of this season. You go back to last year, week 11, the Rams beat New England. The next week, they get smoked by the Eagles. They win their next five games. Starters don't play week 18. That's fine. They beat Minnesota in the playoffs and then lose to Philly. So what are we getting at here? A team that's won 9 straight games with their starters other than when they play the Eagles. So let's see what the Rams have here. Right? Everyone talked about this Rams defense. Oh, man, you know, that Thursday night they held the Niners to 6 and then the Jets to 9 and then the Cardinals to 9. Well, what happened the week before? Oh, they gave up 42 to Buffalo? And then 2 weeks before that, 37 to Philadelphia? And then in the snow where nobody could move, 28 to Philadelphia? You want me to throw a parade because they only gave up 9 to Houston? What about the 19 to Tennessee? Those tweets didn't hit as hard? So let's see. Show me something here. This isn't a gotta-have-it game for the Philadelphia Eagles. In no way, shape, or form. Already beat Dallas. Giants are a mess. Jaden Daniels injured. Got the Super Bowl rematch. This isn't a gotta-have-it game for Philly. Meanwhile, Seahawks have a loss. They're a 7.5-point favorite. They're the only team in the NFC West with a loss. And the Niners and Cardinals go head-to-head. So yeah, sure, one of them's going to lose. The other's going to be 3-0. So show me something here, LA Rams. That's who the pressure's on, not the other way around. You can do as many shows as you want talking about the Eagles' passing game. Eagles haven't need a passing game when they run up against these Rams. Saquon Barkley sees this blue and yellow, things get busy. Saquon Barkley last year in the playoffs, 26 for 205 and 2. And that paled in comparison to a career best, 26 for 255 and 2 with 47 receiving. It was unreal, 300-yard game. So show me something, Rams. That defense is so good, show me something. That offense is hard to stop, show me something. That's what's on the line in that football game, not the other way around. Speaking of the New York Giants, speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Sunday Night Football, what a treat. What a treat. If you're Russell Wilson, if you're the New York Giants, last week was a little tricky because I think you were ready to play Jackson Dart in this game. If you lost, you lost in a fashion you probably couldn't have imagined. where Russ threw for 450 yards and three touchdowns. So now, if you're the Giants, dream scenario? Russ looks good again in a loss, no? QB injuries happen. We've already talked about a couple. Teams keep calling. Teams keep asking. Proof of concept. System works. Neighbors happy. Dable cooking. Dart walks into something good. Get yourself a high-level draft choice. I know I bet him to make the playoffs. I don't want to give up on it, but let's be real. Best-case scenario for the Giants. You get a little bit of clarity. Initially, it felt like last week was the worst-case scenario. I think it was as far as playoff chances go. But organizational health, there's a spin there. For the Chiefs, it's all on the line. For the Chiefs, it is. Because after this, you're home against Baltimore. You will be a home underdog in that game. And I may end up betting Kansas City in that game. Number's not out yet, is it? Oh, it is. Oh, my gosh. It's 2.5. You knew it would be. I'll probably end up betting Kansas City in that game. Probably. We'll see. But then you're at Jacksonville, not easy. Home against Detroit, not easy. Who cares what week 7, 8, 9 have? Who cares? If you're 1-5, 2-4 even, it's pretty rough. They've never been that bad. It's not just a gotta-have-it game, though, for Kansas City. I want to see something. We talked about the reasons for optimism on the offense. It's because Mahomes is still incredibly talented. Throw the ball down the field. Apparently Worthy's going to play. Tyquan Thornton, Hollywood Brown, go. 9 route, straight, 4 verts, rip it. Don't just start throwing the ball when you're down and it's too late. Feels like garbage time, because that's what it's been. That's what it's been in these more recent starts. That big time yardage that pumps up those numbers. It's saving the day a little bit. Mahomes, long completion, 34.5, tempting. Passing yards, 32.5, tempting. Considering, tracking, potential options for us on a Sunday. Last one, and then we'll get you out of here. Appreciate you guys making some time for the Kevin Walsh Show. Make sure you do me that favor. 5 stars, review it, the whole story, all right? Subscribe, get in the mix. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a chance to bury the Houston Texans. This is one of these under-the-radar games. And how much this game matters all depends on the result. If the Jags lose, they stink. Trevor Lawrence, you know, is in a tough spot. And, you know, it is what it is. The South will be blech. Someone will win it. No one will deserve to win it kind of thing. Texans are still in the mix no matter what the Colts do. Right? That's what it is. Jags win. That's a statement. Texans are buried. They've won this division the last 2 years. They're done if they lose to Jacksonville. 0-3, you're not making it out of that hole. Because the Texans aren't good enough to make it out of that hole. Because the Texans aren't that good. Because they punted on offensive line. And that's what happens when you punt on offensive line. You can't score the football, despite having a really talented quarterback. This is a burium spot for Jacksonville. Blood in the water. Got to make it count. 1.5-point number, I don't know if I get in the mix. I'm considering it. I haven't figured out what the sides look like. Again, Sunday, we'll see. But this is a bury spot. And in a way for Jacksonville, it's not that it's better that you lost. But if I said, hey, the Jags are going to be 2-1. Do you want the second win to be against the Texans or the Bengals? Much better for it to be here against Houston, okay? So in a way, the way they lost that game to Cincinnati should have them super focused, locked in. Lay it on the line. Enough of this talk about hospital balls. Trevor, lay it out there. BTJ, go get it. Travis Hunter, let's start to make this thing pop a little bit here, Liam. All right? I think Liam Cohen's been good. Ground game's been good. Defense make a couple of plays. They'll be out there and available. This is a bury the Texans spot for the Jaguars. Can't wait to see what they bring to the table. Again, I wanted to get you out of here quick. Appreciate everybody making some time, man. Subscribe to the show. Rate the show. Review the show. It's the Kevin Walsh Show, a Sports Grid podcast with Kevin Walsh. We'll check in next time.